message tonight, centred around healing, health and strength in Christ. We praise you, Lord. We thank you for your provision. We thank you for the benefits of salvation. We thank you that by the stripes of Jesus we were healed, and that Jesus took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. We thank you, Lord, that you are the health provider. And I thank you, Lord, for people with open hearts tonight to hear your word in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Amen. Health and strength in Christ, we're looking at that tonight. And one of the important things that we have to understand is that health and strength is indeed provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, we know to be the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he healed in the past, he heals today. He has provided strength in the past. We can read that, for example, in Psalm 27, verse 1. He provides strength through Christ today. In fact, the Apostle Paul said that Christ was everything to him. For to me to live is Christ, he said. So all of his life was the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus himself said, without me you can do nothing. Now, if Jesus said, without me you can do nothing, it means he's going to provide the strength, the healing. He doesn't expect you to do things and you're barely able to do it. He expects that you will receive from him what he has provided. One of the things I've been thinking about, and it's important for us to all think about this, is outside of the meetings in Victory Faith Centre, what are we doing? What are we doing? Let's look at a scripture, Proverbs 12, verse 18. Proverbs 12, verse 18. What I want us to be, and the Lord indeed wants this, is for us to be consistent Christians. Consistent Christians. So that obviously means that whether I'm watching you or other people are watching you or you think nobody's watching you, you are consistent and the same, and there is integrity in your actions and words. Now, integrity means that within you, there is a heart that is longing for God, seeking the Lord, and wants to do the right thing whether you are being looked at or not. Can you see what I'm saying there? So integrity is not based on, oh, is that person watching me? Oh, well, if I'm not being watched, then I can do whatever I like. No. And let me just tell you, God is always watching anyway, so it's a bit silly to have that attitude. Some people, they seem to have it. By their actions, they show that. Proverbs 12, verse 18. 12, verse 18. Says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So when you're outside, even amongst the heathen, when you're outside of here by yourself, how are you speaking? Now, if you're wise, how will you be speaking? Will you be speaking in agreement with God? Well, if you are, if you're speaking in agreement with the wisdom of God, then the Bible gives you a wonderful promise here, a statement. It says the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. You agreeing with the word is indeed the very first step towards you having full recovery in sickness, full strength in him. Let's say you were weak in a certain area of your body. What do you classify in your mind and heart as truth? What do you have to say is truth right from the beginning? Well, what does Jesus say is truth? Thy word is truth. So Jesus has set the standard, hasn't he? Thy word, God's word, is truth. God's word is truth. And we know from Scripture that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. So sickness might come. God's word is truth. So what has happened in the past? What has Jesus done for you in the past? What has he done for you? God's word is truth. You've got to keep that in mind. Because when you're speaking, you want to speak according to the truth, which is according to God's word. Now, I say this because We are people that are in Christ. And you will find that if you looked at Christ's life, that he never deviated from the truth. He always spoke according to that which the Father gave him. And you can see many scriptures related to that. And so we should always speak according to what the Word of God says about us. What the Word of God says about what he has provided. What has he indeed provided? Has he provided strength for you? Has he provided healing for you? Well, indeed, he has provided healing. He has provided that. Let's look at 1 Peter 2, verse 24. Just keep your finger in Proverbs, because we'll be coming back to that. 1 Peter 2, verse 24. You see, if you agree with the standard, if you agree with the Word of God, then you may even have pain in your body, but you will rebuke the pain. You will say, no, you have no authority in my body. And you will say, in Jesus' name, get out, stop, because it is written. It is written. It is written. What is it written? What is it written? Well, here's one area. Here's one area we should be saying, it is written. It is written. It is written. And we see it in 1 Peter chapter 2. And you've got to remember, this is scripture. This is truth. This is what we take hold of. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And we have heard this, but let's hear it with fresh ears today. Let's hear it with fresh ears. 1 Peter 2, verse 24, talking about Jesus, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. It is written, by the stripes of Jesus I was healed, or ye were healed, and ye applies to me. Ye were healed. Now, we believe that Jesus bare our sins in his own body on the tree, so we know that we are forgiven. If we do sin, we have the Lord Jesus Christ we can go to, and he is our intercessor, and we can plead the blood of Christ, and we have forgiveness. If we have need, a physical need in our body, we must speak the truth about that. The truth is that on the cross, Christ, the stripes of that were laid upon Christ, the stripes which were the lashings, in fact, what was placed because of the lashings, the marks, if you like, because of the lashings, by those ye were healed. So you know that when he was lashed on the cross, when he was lashed, at that time, when he was lashed on the cross, but by the stripes of Jesus you were healed. And how do we know that we are healed by that? Because it is written, by whose stripes ye were healed. And I want you to get this very clear, because there's going to be people which we'll meet up with in the future who know absolutely nothing about what I'm talking about. All right. Now, you might say, well, I don't know a huge amount. Well, you know more than people that haven't had healing preached to them at all. You see what I'm saying? You actually know more because you've sat listening to a lot of healing sermons now. So you must know something. I'm praying that you do know at least a little bit. In fact, if you don't, we're going to ask, well, why don't you? What's happening here? What's happening? You see, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Yesterday, today, and forever. And look, what I'm saying to you is exactly what I have put in my Christian life for the last 35 years. Again, I know it works. I know it works, and I put it into practice, and you know, the Lord has allowed me to have the manifestation of healing and strength and health in my body over the last 35 years as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian. So the more knowledge you get of Christ and his word, the stronger should your faith become. Okay? You should be starting to believe, well, not only believe that word, but you should be starting to take hold of that word and act upon it as you walk. See, health and strength is in Christ, but we have to take hold of that word. We have to believe that. What else can we say? What else can we say? Remember, the tongue of the wise is health. Look at Philippians 4, verse 13. You know, we've quoted this a number of times. You need to see this. And if you're having trouble in your body, I would say write this out on a big sheet of paper, stick it on your fridge so that it's right there, and start saying it every day over yourself. And notice what it says, Philippians 4, verse 13. You see, death and life is in the power of the tongue, so get it in action. If you actually believe that you have strength in Christ, that God is your strength, if that's the truth, then you speak the truth. You speak the truth. Okay? You don't say, well, I've got this pain here. Yeah, there may be a pain, but the truth is, God is my strength. God is my power. And that pain has no right to stay in my body, because Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. What we see here, we'll just read this out, in Philippians 4 verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Which strengtheneth me. So according to this scripture, who's strengthening you? Who's strengthening you?
Christ.
Christ is strengthening you, isn't it? Isn't it Christ that's strengthening you? According to this scripture, that's what it says. And it says, I can do all things through Christ. So it's not talking about your own strength, is it? It's through Christ. Through Christ you are strengthened. Through Christ, this is what you should be saying. This is why the tongue of the wise is health, because the tongue of the wise speaks the truth in agreement with God. Are you forgiven? Are you born again? If you could say yes to that, it means you've received Christ as your Saviour. And you can say, I am going to heaven on the basis of the truth. The truth is that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Have you received him? If you've received him, then the truth is you're going to heaven. You're going to heaven. And unless you turn your back on Christ, you'll be going to heaven. Now, none of us will turn our back on Christ. None of us will turn our back on Christ and leave the faith, so to speak. And so what we have to do is by faith, appropriate the same scriptural truth into our hearts and minds, into our life, as we walk in this, as we talk, as we go forward. Have a look at Ephesians 6. Look at Ephesians 6, and just want to quote a particular scripture here. Ephesians 6, and we'll read just one part, and that is verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Okay? In Ephesians 6, verse 10, notice what it says here. Now, you've got to see this. You say, well, God's word is truth. This is truth to me. And this is what I speak because I'm in Christ. And Christ strengthens me. I thank you, Lord, you strengthen me. That's the type of words that should be coming out of your mouth. Say it over and over again. Say, thank you, Lord, you are strengthening me. You are strengthening my legs. You are strengthening my arms. You're strengthening my thinking. You're strengthening me. Strength, strength, strength. Verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. Be strong. It's a state of being. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And you say, thank you, Lord. I receive your strength in Jesus' name. I receive your strength in the name of Jesus. I receive the power of your might in my life, in my body. I receive it. But you know, you've got to put it into your mouth. You've got to put it into your mouth. You've got to be proactive here. If you don't know these scriptures, you should be writing them down or getting the tape of this or the recording of this and then writing them down and get to know them. Get to know them. I know, for example, we've quoted these scriptures many times here, but get to know them. Don't just think, well, I might be able to remember it, or I might not, you know. But you should know it. You've got to know it in your heart. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That's what John 8 says. You shall know the truth. Know the truth. It's not just, oh yeah, I think I know it. But you know the truth. What's God? What's the truth? What's the truth? Thy word is truth. Shall know the truth, and the truth that you know shall make you free. Can you see what I'm saying? Not the, oh yes, the Bible's true. I know there's truth in it. I'm not sure what truth. I don't know that. We have to be students of the Word of God. And especially, you know, I've come in my ministry now, I've come to the stage where, you know, people have sat in this church sometimes for quite a long time and then demonstrated later on that they don't know what has been preached. That's unacceptable. It should be unacceptable in your life, and it's certainly unacceptable in the eyes of God. Why? Because Christ has said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Health and strength is in Christ, but you know, it's all linked to knowing the truth. It's all linked to you putting into your mouth. Outside of here, see, what we do here is we preach and teach and give you opportunity to believe. To believe. And if you have to, write down the scriptures or get the sermons and write down the scriptures. But I greatly exhort everyone here and those coming in and those listening to this recording to get the scriptures, get into fellowship with a Bible-believing church and get to know the scriptures, put it into operation in your life. We'll never go backwards on that. As long as I preach, it'll be the same. It'll be the same. God's word is the truth, is the standard. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what?
Free.
Free. Free from what? Free from what you need to be free from. It's the truth. It's the truth. Look at Galatians 3 verse 13. Galatians 3 verse 13. The Lord told me in the healing meetings, you just got to preach it straight. You just got to preach it straight. No matter who's here, you just preach it straight. You know, you can have a rank unbeliever come in. You preach it straight. You put it right down the line. You know, healing is for the children of God, for the people of God. If you're not born again, there's no healing for you because you haven't received the one who has made a curse for you. See, there's curse in the world. But in Christ, there's strength and healing and health. That's the truth. And we see it here in Galatians 3. Which is another scripture you should know, a good one to put on your fridge, to write out, to confess. Galatians 3 verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law being made a what?
Curse.
A curse for us. Well, there's no use him being made a curse for us if we think we should be partaking of the curse. You see what I'm saying? He's made a curse for us. What's the curse? Well, the curse of the law, and I'm not going to go through it, but in, for example, Deuteronomy 28 and many others, it talks about that if people don't hearken to the law, then all these curses would come on them. Why is that? Because without the word, without God's blessing, there'll be something else that'll come. You see what I'm saying? It's either one or the other. Now we that are in Christ are redeemed by the blood of Christ. Another scripture tells us that. We are redeemed from the curse of the law. It's a good thing to say, I am redeemed from the curse of the law. That's the truth. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. Christ was made a curse for us. Christ was made a curse for me, for you. Christ has made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. See, Christ hung there on the cross, and he was made a curse for us. Think about that. He was made a curse for us. He took sin. He took all of mankind's sin upon himself. And everything connected to that sin, which was curse. He didn't do a half job. He did a full job, full gospel job. But the problem is, it hasn't been preached. When it's preached and believed, it works. And there are people here that know that. When it's preached and believed, it works. If it's not believed, it won't work. It's as simple as that. Because it's the truth you know. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's truth. Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is my strength. He is my power. Because we're strong in the power of his might. Praise the Lord. And here we see that he was made a curse for us. This is wonderful. This is something that should be good news to us. He was made a curse for us. He became a curse for us. He became a curse for us. Look at Matthew 8, verse 16 and 17. Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, here's another scripture you should know, because we've quoted this many times as well. Another scripture you should know. You might say, well, how can I know all these scriptures? Well, the Bible said to study the word. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. We're not on earth to go through and not do anything for God. I tell you now, if you do that, you will be answerable to God. But if you go through serving the Lord, saying, Lord, your word is truth, and walk according to the truth, because the Bible says about walking in the truth. Walk according to the truth, speak the truth in love, go forward in the truth, believe the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And here's another part of the truth in Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17. Let's read it. Matthew 8, 16 and 17. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his what? Word. Does he still cast out the spirit with his word? Yes, the word is the sword of the spirit. And you are part of the body of Christ. He is the head of the body. We now are his ambassadors on the earth. And we cast out devils. We use the sword of the spirit. That's the reality. That's the truth. So he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. So did he just take the infirmities of those back then and bear only the sicknesses of those back then? Well, it can't be that. It can't be just for those people. Because not only is Jesus the same yesterday, today and forever, but he was made a curse for us. Who thinks that infirmity and sickness is in the curse? It's a cursed thing. Who thinks it's a blessing? Put your hand down. It's not a blessing. The curse has to include this evil stuff. You know, the Bible talks about disease being evil. It has to include that. The curse was taken by Christ. He became a curse for us. He was made a curse for us. Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. He's no respecter of persons. If you're in the body of Christ, he took it for you too. Praise the Lord. And if you're in Christ, you have health and strength in him. You know, there are many people in the body of Christ that need to repent. And they need to say, Lord, I haven't believed you. Or I have been doubting. Well, the best way is to clean the slate. Get the slate clean. Just ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, I want to go forward in you. I want to go forward in you because I want to be a person of the word, a person of truth, a person that understands what you are doing and what you are saying. Praise the Lord. Have a look at Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. You know, as you make key decisions in your life, this is what I've found, you make key decisions in your life, those key decisions those quality decisions that you make can really turn the tide for you. Can turn the tide for you. When you say, "Look, Lord, I am going to believe your word no matter what I see or feel," that is a key decision. A key decision. Your word is truth no matter what tries to say otherwise. And that's a key decision. It's a key decision I believe we should all make if we want breakthroughs. You know, I'm all for people who make the right decisions in Christ. Don't neglect him. Don't neglect his way, but say, "I want to serve you, Lord, with all my heart, all my soul, all my strength. Show my love to you because you love me. You showed your love to me. You died on the cross for me. You became a curse for me." And that's the truth. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's a big thing. It's not a small thing. It's a big thing. It's something we should take into our hearts and say, "I believe that. I believe that is truth. And I will act as though, and I know it, I am appreciative all the days of my life." Sadly, in many Christians, it doesn't seem to be like that. But the Lord is raising up a people that is going to change the face of the body of Christ, because they'll actually believe the word, they'll act on the word, and they'll be truly on fire of the word of God. Praise the Lord. So here we have in Proverbs 4, verses 20 to 23. Let's read this. Proverbs 4, 20 to 23. "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are," what? "Life unto those that find them," and what? "Health to all their flesh." Do you believe this? Do you believe this? If you believe it, then you'll do what it says in verses 20 and 20, oh, 22, 23. He says, "Attend to my words. Attend to my word." Is it sufficient? This is what I said right at the beginning. What do people do outside of the services? And the Lord brought to my mind some of the things that I know people have been doing out. You know, this is even people have sat in the church here and then demonstrated they really haven't believed anything. I believe what we need to do is be people that outside of the church are attending to God's words. Are you reading the word every day? Are you studying the word every day? Are you confessing the word every day? Are you praying and praying in agreement with the word every day? Well, if you are, then that's attending to God's words. Okay? But if you're not, get on board with it. Because if you do that, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, 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 and strong. And notice what it says, "Incline thine ears unto my sayings." Okay, so when you come to hear, for example, come to hear a sermon, I want to hear what you're saying, Lord. I don't believe it's just a man up there preaching. No, if you've put gifts into the church, I know that you must be using that person or using that lady. You're there. You're there in the midst. Christ is in the midst. He says, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." Do you believe it? He's in the midst here tonight. He's here. He's in us individually and corporately. He's here. And so we incline our ear unto God's sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. It's not sufficient. And I say this because I know it's absolutely true. It's not sufficient to, you know, "Oh yes, I look at the Bible when I come to a service, but outside, I don't bother." Now, there's variations of that. But the best is to keep it in front of your eyes, to get it into your ears, to be listening to it, to allow it to become part of your thinking, because that's how the renewal of your mind happens. transformed by the renewing of your mind. And notice what it says there, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. You know, the word, if you believe the word to be truth, then you know and you should say, your word is health to all my flesh. Thank you, Lord. Your word is health to all my flesh. Your word is health. Health to all my flesh. If you believe it, then this is what you do. You attend to his words. You incline your ear unto his sayings. So, you know, there's many ways you can get the word into your ears. Many ways you can get the word into your eyes. But it has to be a part of you. It has to become engrafted in you. It's important. It's so important. What is the truth? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Look at Proverbs 14 verse 30. Yeah, across a little bit. Proverbs 14 verse 30. Praise the Lord. Everything happens spiritually. Everything happens initially in the heart. Okay? It happens in the heart. You know, unforgiveness happens in the heart. Bitterness happens in the heart. Love comes from the heart. Believing comes from the heart. That's what it says here. This is important. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. I'm not just talking about the blood pump here. The vast majority of times the word uses the word heart, it's referring to inner man. Your soul and spirit. Okay? Your spirit man. So, a sound heart is the life of the flesh. You get your heart right in the eyes of God. You get your heart right. You say, Lord, I've neglected you. I've neglected your ways. I'm sorry about that. Please forgive me. Wash me clean by the blood of Christ. Forgive me. I determine now, and I commit myself now to change it from this day forward. This is the type of, remember I said quality decisions that need to be made if we are to go along into the future in strength and health. And a sound heart is the life of the flesh. So that tells you that there's a connection between the heart and the flesh, between the inner man and the outer man. If you allow all types of wrong things to come into the inner man, then all types of wrong things can afflict the outer man, the body. We're going to finish with the scripture in Romans 10. We'll look at some verses in Romans 10. Romans 10 verse 8, first of all. Because we have to say in our lives, I'm making a quality decision for Christ. I'm making a decision that his word is truth. I'm going to attend to that. Speak that, believe that, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise the Lord. Romans 10, verse 8. Once again, this is a scripture we've looked at a lot of times, but let's see what it's saying. It shows a connection. A connection. What saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. You need to have the word of faith being preached. Because that comes into your heart and it should come into your mouth as well. Remember we said the tongue of the wise is health. So the word of faith which we preach is in your heart and in your mouth. As it says there, in thy mouth and in thy heart. And then if you go down a little bit further to verse 10, it shows what happens in your heart. Okay, your heart is your inner man. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now salvation encompasses more than just forgiveness of sins, we know that. And so you can say with the heart man believeth unto healing, for example. Righteousness is part of the salvation. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And salvation, whatever the benefits of salvation is, we have to believe in our heart. We have to confess with our mouth. So when we go out of here, and for example, you know, an unbeliever comes to you and you know, starts to talk to you about all the wrong things, you need to sometimes shut your ears off when they're talking that, because you want to hear the word. You want to hear the word coming into your ears. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. And then you speak the right things. The word of faith which we preach comes into your heart, out of your mouth. But it won't come out of your mouth unless you believe it. Into your heart is, I believe it. I believe I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. I believe Jesus took my infirmities and bare my sickness. I believe that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. I believe that Jesus was made a curse for me and I'm redeemed from the curse of the law. And it comes out of your mouth as a flowing river. It comes out of your mouth, not forced, but it flows out. Now those of you that have done this, you know what I'm saying. It flows out. It's not hard. And as your mind gets renewed, it just flows. You know? And you'll come up to a problem situation, and instead of fear diving on you, faith will rise up in you. And this is so very, very valuable. Very valuable. And we have to be people that understand this. And I want to finish with Romans 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how does faith come? By hearing. It's got to be hearing the right thing. Hearing by the word of God. Hearing. You know, if you feel, I don't have enough faith, well, the Bible tells you how to get faith. By hearing the word of God. It's great to come in here and to hear the word of God. That's good. That's good. And I strongly encourage that. You know, people that neglect the church and neglect coming to church, well, how is faith going to come to them if they don't put any, not just this church, but how's faith going to come if they don't go to any church? I'll just look at the telly and listen to the preachers on telly. Well, there's such a mixture there. And they're not really doing that, you know. Because if you're obedient to the Lord, then you'll obey what he says. You know, forsake not the gathering of yourselves together and so on. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? You have to be consistent. I said this right at the beginning. Consistent Christians say, I walk in the truth, I believe the truth, I speak the truth. Health and strength is in Christ. So let's bow our heads. Let's bow our heads tonight. Bow our heads. And just allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. And if he's speaking to you, you need to respond to that. You need to respond to it. First of all, let's just address the issue of if anyone senses within themselves, look in your heart, and you know that you have neglected God's word, God's ways, and you need forgiveness. You need forgiveness. And I want you to just follow through with me with this prayer. Just quietly just say, Lord God, I have neglected your ways. Forgive me, Lord. And I make a crucial decision now. In the name of Jesus. I make a decision to believe your word as truth. No matter what I see, what I feel, but I make a decision now. And Lord, forgive me. Wash me clean by the blood of Jesus. Help me in this decision so that I go forward in the name of Jesus and not backwards. I want to be a person that grows. And I receive your forgiveness. I receive your cleansing. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, if you need prayer tonight, and I will always, listen, it won't matter to me whether there's one person here or 10,000. This will be the same type of thing. I will give people an opportunity to respond
to be prayed for. This is what's going to happen. And the Spirit of God will always be available because He's here in the midst of us. If you need prayer for healing, then come on out by faith. Come on out by faith and we'll pray for you. So I'll just give you a minute. If you need prayer for healing, if you want that tonight, come on out and we'll pray for you.